Here we are again. Everybody take a nap today? Ron said we came in and said, man, to get everybody under their jumping jacks. I may have to. I didn't get one today. Pam did. All right. Tonight, I prayed and I sought God, and he laid this on my heart. I just want to try to encourage you tonight as children of God. I want to read some scriptures that show us that we can know some things about our relationship with the Lord. Like I say, this is just an encouragement. This is what God laid on my heart to do. But God wants to encourage you in these times we live in. We need encouragement. Amen? We need encouragement. There are just some things from the Word of God that we can just read and just take for what it says, just for encouragement. So with that being said, take your Bibles and open to Deuteronomy chapter 29 is where I'm going to begin reading at. I'm going to read two verses in chapter 29, and then we're going to read the whole chapter, Deuteronomy 30. The title of my message would be, What Believers Can Know. What Believers Can Know. I probably won't keep you long tonight. First Sunday night of the time change, we get out of here in daylight maybe. Anybody object? All right, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1 says, These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Hor. Now if you look at verse 29 of chapter 29, it says, The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now I want you to listen as we read chapter 30 here. I want you to hear what God says in his covenant to his people. Verse 1 says, And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good, for the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou return unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. What a promise that God has made to his people there in the Word of God. God makes us promises, and we need to learn to live in the victory from these promises that God gives to us. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to come tonight. Thank you for keeping us safe through the weather, Lord. And I pray you'll carry everyone home safely tonight. And Father, help me, Lord, to share, Father, from this lesson, Lord, and just help us to be strengthened, be encouraged, and to realize, Father, that the things that we have from you, Father, are what you want for us, the best that you want for us. And help us to realize, Father, that we need to look to you each day and to walk with you and to let you direct our hearts. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, we can read from the Word of God that how you provided for the children of Israel, how that you loved them and you made the way for them, and that you made a covenant with them, and you told them that, Father, that what they were supposed to do in this covenant, and you told them how you would work in it. And Lord, you tell us the same thing here today, here at Oak Lane. You have promises for us, Father, things that we can know as believers in you, as we trust in you and walk with you. And I just pray that you will just help us, Lord, tonight to be encouraged from the Scriptures. And may you draw us close to you. And we'll thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We read those Scriptures there, and we were here at the part where Moses was at the end of his ministry, where he was not going to be allowed to cross over into the Promised Land. After Israel had wandered in the wilderness that God had said they would do, the old generation has passed away, and the new generation was ready to cross over into the Promised Land. God renews his covenant with them. If you obey the words of my covenant, God tells them, they would be blessed. And if you followed along and listened to the Scriptures there, have God told them that he loved them, and you know, he wants the best for his people. He wants the best for you tonight as believers in him. And he wants to encourage you in that. And he asked me to try to encourage you tonight in that. And as the children of Israel are here, they were ready again to cross over. That 40 years had expired where they were wandering in the wilderness, where the old generation, the unbelievers, had passed away, just as God told them they would, because they would not accept that God would give them the Promised Land when he told them to go over in there. They'd sent spies over there, and they came back, and we know that so many of them were against going over, and there were two that said, yes, we can do it, because God is with us. I want you to know tonight that God is with you, church. God is with you, and when he leads you in something, he'll be with you, and he will help you, and he will see you through that. But here we have that this generation had passed away because of their unbelief. They had died there in the wilderness. And here we have the new generation, that God was renewing the covenant with them, and how sweet a covenant it was to them, that he would be their God, and he would love them, and he would care for them, and he would help them. God promised the Israelites, and God saw them through, and he carried them over into the Promised Land. God promises to us, and like Israel, we must obey the things that he promises to us. God tells us what he expects from us, how that we're supposed to live our lives, and he tells us that he will bless us in this. First off, believers can know that their sins are forgiven. We can know that as believers, that we can have 100% belief that God has forgiven us of our sins. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You hear what he says? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He says that he's forgiven us. He's forgiven us, and he wants us to learn from that. Here it is God saying, I've forgiven you, you forgive others. You have that love thy neighbor as thyself in your heart, and you live your life by that. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now just listen to me tonight. I'm trying to just encourage you by the Scriptures that God showed me. Believers can know that their sins are forgiven, because at Christ's sake, he's forgiven us. We are redeemed through his blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 1 John 2:12 says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. That's a promise from God. He will forgive you because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. It's because of Him that we can be forgiven. Aren't you so glad what Christ did for you, church? Aren't you encouraged that you can have that relationship with Him and that you can know that your sins are forgiven? Believers have their sins forgiven as soon as Christ is received as Savior. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, For he saith, I've heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I thought about this one and I thought, you know what? I didn't have to apply for forgiveness. Jesus had already made the way that I could be forgiven. He said that what I had to do was accept it in the accepted time. He said, now is the accepted time. He said, now is the day. It's a promise to you. If you will accept His salvation and you receive it, your sins are forgiven you. Didn't have to mail off for anything. Didn't have to get on the internet and type it up. All I had to do was get down and ask Christ to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and He promised that He would do exactly that. Be encouraged, church. Be encouraged that your sins are forgiven. Believers have complete forgiveness. Hebrews 8:12 says, For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 10:16-17 says, This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Two verses there from Hebrews where He says, I will remember no more. He washes away our sins. Our sins are forgiven. He does not remember them. He does not hold them against us. The scripture and Psalms, I believe, says that our sins are as far as the east is from the west, is what God tells us. He gets them out of the way. He forgives me completely. He forgives you completely. You have that promise from God. Believers can know that their sins are forgiven and God will remember them no more. He didn't say, I will forgive, but I'm not forgetting. I've heard people say that before. I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. And they carry a burden their whole life with that on them. And that's a burden that you should not carry. Because He says, as your sins are forgiven, that you're supposed to love others. Just as He's forgiven you, you're supposed to forgive others for that. I'm glad that God says that He will remember my sins and iniquities no more. We should learn from His example. I knew when I asked Him because that terrible load of sin was removed from me. Now, if I'd have bowed down there and I'd have carried something with me, I'd have still been carrying that heavy load. But Jesus says, your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. That's for you, church. That's for each and every one of us. Everyone has been forgiven. Everyone has asked Jesus to forgive them and to wash away their sins. He takes care of it. What else can we know as believers? We can know that we have everlasting life. Now, a lot of this is no news flash to you here tonight, Oak Lane. But sometimes we don't think about these scriptures and we don't realize what we have in Christ. We don't realize that total victory we have. We're used to preacher getting up here and preaching against sin and telling you how you need to live your life and everything. I'm telling you tonight the life that you can have by being a believer and trusting in Christ and letting Him give you the full life that He wants to give you. We can know that we have everlasting life. Now, we all worry about our lives here on this earth. We worry about our health and the condition that we're in. And, you know, there's not really, I mean, we can do things to try to help our health, but ultimately, we're all, if Jesus does not come back soon, we're all going to pass away and we're going to be buried. We're going to be put into the ground. And there's just, you know, that's just the way life goes. But believers can know that they have everlasting life. I have everlasting life. Now, this old body will wear out. It's wearing out every day. And they're going to, one day, if Jesus doesn't return, they're going to put me in the ground. And I'm going to wait for that shout and that trump of God to call my body together up in the air. But I will have everlasting life. I don't have to worry about trying to spend an eternity here on this earth. These bodies are going to wear out. Plain and simple. But you know what? He's got something prepared for us for eternity, an eternal body. An eternal body that we'll live with Him throughout eternity. The Lord Jesus says that He gives believers everlasting life. John 10, 27, 28. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Hear what Jesus says? I give unto them eternal life. Eternity. That's an awful big word if you think about it, what eternity is. And you've heard different descriptions of it. I'm not going to try to give you nothing new tonight. But just know that believers have an everlasting life because of what Jesus did. He said, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. He's going to take care of us. He's going to see us through eternity. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believers can know that they have everlasting life. The Scriptures bear it out. You know what? I thought about that Scripture. I'm not going to heaven on a short vacation. Now, I get 3 weeks of vacation right now at the place that I work. You know, that don't seem, that's not long enough. But I'm going to heaven, and it's not for a 3-week vacation, Brother Larry. It's for eternity. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. My mind can't even fathom that I'll spend eternity with my Jesus. He made the way, and I know that by what the Scriptures tell me, that I have everlasting life because of what He's done. It will never end. God has promised. Man cannot alter it, and that makes His promise of everlasting life so much more precious. His promise of eternal life is untainted by man. There's nothing that man can do to change eternity because God Almighty put it in place. God Almighty sustains it, and He will carry it out through eternity. The Apostle John emphasized that believers can have the assurance of possessing everlasting life. 1 John 5, 11 and 13. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things has He written, that we may know. These are just promises tonight. I'm reading you from the Word of God. You ought to be smiling bigger than what you are. I know you're sleepy. I know you're tired. But hey, these are eternal promises from God, from His Word, that He's not going to back up from. He's not going to alter. He's put them down in His written Word. They're settled. They're settled. It ought to excite us. It is a no-so possession that we can have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God promises that we have it through His Son. The Apostle Paul emphasized that we who have been justified by grace are the heirs of everlasting life. Titus 3, 4, and 7. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I'm entitled to inherit eternal life, the Scripture says. I'm entitled to that. How is that? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, the promise of God says I'm an heir according to the hope of eternal life. Now we know what an heir is. They're the ones that inherit something. Something that is being passed down or whatever, they inherit it. I'm an heir to eternal life because of Jesus Christ. You are an heir. It's coming to you. God has promised it to you if you will trust Him and you will follow Him. Believers can know that. What else can we know from the Bible? Believers can know that the Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful companion. Faithful companion. The Lord Jesus has promised to be with believers even unto the end of the age. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Believers can know that the Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful companion. You know, I talked about it some this morning. Those days that you get up and you feel like everything is against you, be of good cheer. He's a faithful companion. He's the only one that helped me through this week, as I told you this morning. He's the only one that's going to help me through this week, through this night. He's the only one that'll help you. He's a faithful companion. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you behind. He wants to draw you close and show you what He wants to do in your life. The Lord Jesus' presence should cause the heart of believers to burn within them. Luke 24:30-32 says, And it came to pass as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed and broke and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us Scriptures? He's a faithful companion. Here we have the two that were not even aware of His presence. They were on the road to Emmaus, these two, after the crucifixion. The Scripture tells us that Jesus came to them, but they did not realize His presence. And this was after the crucifixion that He came. And I'm sure that they were walking with their heads hanging low and everything that had happened. And here He was. He went and He sat at meat with them. He sat down and ate with them. And then their eyes were open. They knew Him and they said, Did not our heart burn within us? He was a faithful companion. When they realized He was there, hey, when we realize in those difficult situations that He's there and that they know that He's a faithful companion and He will help us and He will deliver us, whatever that trouble, whatever that battle that you're facing, He will help you and He will deliver you. The Lord Jesus will go with believers even through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus will see you through to death. He won't leave you in the valley of death. He doesn't leave you and abandon you there. He carries you on to home because He's a faithful companion. He's a faithful companion that will take you all the way to heaven because He has promised that here in the Word as we read the Scriptures. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus is with me. Jesus is with you and will help you and will deliver you and give you strength. Believers can know they are saved by the witness of the Spirit of God. 1 John 3:24, And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. We can know we're saved by the witness of the Spirit that indwells us. Romans 8:16, The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How about it? Is the Spirit bearing witness with you that you are the child of God? He promises that here in His Word, that if we'll let Him be in control, that we will know that. It's a promise from God. Believers can know they're saved by the witness of a changed life. Matthew 7:20-21, Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them, He says. Believers can know they're saved by the witness of a changed life. I've told you how that when I got up from the church there in Western Grove, Arkansas in 1993, that my life was changed. I could no longer go on doing the things that I was doing because Jesus Christ had saved me. And the Word of God says believers can know they're saved by the witness of a changed life. And I was so happy and glad to go back to work that Tuesday after Memorial Weekend and people asking me what happened, what did I do over the weekend. And I was so glad to be able to tell them that I was saved. I was saved. You know, some of them you could see the happiness in them and some of them looked at you like you were crazy because they didn't know, have an idea what you were talking about. But I tell you what, they could see something different though. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Believers can know they're saved by the witness of a changed life. 1 John 3:14, We know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. 1 John 3:18-19, My little children, Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. We're changed by Him, by that relationship, that promised relationship that He gives to us as believers. We can know all of these things that I've read to you, and you could go on through the Word of God. It's just full from the front to the back, that promises that God makes to us His children. Be encouraged tonight, Oak Lane. Be encouraged tonight out there on social media. If you're a child of God, these promises are for us. He's not going to abandon us in the last days. He's not going to leave us behind because He saved us. He made the way for us to be saved. He wants for us to come and to live in heaven for eternity with Him. He made that promise to us, and He makes the way for us. Our lives should change after we meet Him. Now, I've just tried to encourage you tonight with the Word of God. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let the world tell you that you can't keep on serving God, because you can. You can have that close relationship and walk with Him each day. Believers can know that their sins are forgiven. Believers can know that they have everlasting life. Believers can know that the Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful companion. Believers can know that they're saved by the witness of the Spirit of God in their life. Believers can know that they're saved by the witness of a changed life. And lastly tonight, believers can know He is coming again. Take and turn to John chapter 14. Book of John chapter 14. We hear these scriptures all the time, but I want you to see the promise right before you. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Hey, mine's a red letter edition. These are Jesus' words He's speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Hey, listen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a promise. It's a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ to you believers. It's a promise to you that He's going to come back. He's going to take you to where He is. This old book is full of promises so that we as believers can know. As I said, it's a no-so salvation, not a well I think I am. You know. Believers can know these promises from God because His Word is here for us to see and to read. Live a changed life. Live a victorious life. Because, hey, I just shared with you a few of the promises tonight. That's what God wanted you to hear tonight, Oak Lane. Be encouraged. Be encouraged because He loves you. He loves each and every one of you. Just let Him direct in your life. Father, thank You for allowing me to share this tonight. And Father, I am so thankful for Your Word, for each and every promise that, Father, is in this Word. That, Lord, we have victory, but it's not us, it's the victory that You give. And without You, we can do nothing, the Scripture says. And I pray that, Father, You will go, Father, throughout this church tonight. I pray that You'll touch every soul that's here tonight, Father, and You will encourage them that tomorrow, tonight, tomorrow, even the next day, whatever they may face, may they remember the promises that You've made to them in Your Word. That You'll not leave them, You'll not forsake them, because You're a faithful companion. You're a true, loving, caring God. And I know that, Father, You want to meet the needs in their life. And I pray, Father, You'll just have Your way and You'll help each one of them. Father, strengthen them. Carry them through this week and bring us back Wednesday night for a Bible lesson. Help us to come with a hunger, desire to learn more from Your Word. Bring us back, Father, next Sunday to hear the preaching of the Word of God and the more of the truths and the promises that You have for us, Father. Lord, I pray that for someone tonight that's listened, that, Father, that never accepted You as their Lord and Savior, they don't understand these promises, that, Father, tonight This would be the night that, Lord, you revealed yourself to them. They would understand, Father, that you paid the price for their sin, that they could be forgiven, and that they could experience and have these promises. Father, would you do that? Father, wherever they may be, Father, whether they'd be here tonight or listening, Father, through social media, I pray your spirit would move, Father. Lord, tonight help your people here at Oak Lane to rejoice in you. Give them the victory, Father, in everything. And I just pray that, Lord, they'll hold on to these promises. You will just strengthen, you will encourage them. You will just have your way. We love you, Father, and we give you praise for everything in Jesus' name.